Welcome to the Fight White Genocide podcast with Laura, Ken, and Jeff, where we talk about whatever we think is important in the global struggle against white genocide. This is podcast number 5, recorded January 28th, 2019. Today's topic is Ken's appearance on Tell Me Everything with John Fugelsang. How you doing, Ken? Laura? Say hi, Laura.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, first of all, no one is more censored than pro-whites. Just recently, Ken has been put into, Facebook detention. Bob Whitaker's Twitter has been suspended, and also Laura's Twitter has been suspended. So anyone else out there who claims that they're oppressed and censored, it's nothing like what's happening to pro-whites today. No one is more oppressed today than pro-whites. No one is more censored today than pro-whites. Now, how many Christians are deplatformed just for preaching the gospel? How many Muslims are deplatformed for pushing their religion? And needless to say, no one that pushes political correctness ever gets censored or deplatformed, no matter how much, even if they openly advocate violence. Also, I wanted to mention that I set up a Gab for Bob Whitaker. It's gab.com/Whitakerisms. So if you want to check that out, hopefully that'll be up for a long time. And we don't need to worry about Twitter. They'll just censor themselves in irrelevancy, hopefully. And we can continue the conversation on Gab and other platforms.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll always find a way. we'll find a way to talk about our issues and get it out there, get the message out there. So.
It's proving the point that white genocide or the conversation about white genocide is enemy number one.
Oh, absolutely. And as Jeff was pointing out, about Muslims, I mean, it about Muslims being censored. The thing is, it's not even like that. It's more like if Muslims were censored in their own countries, not if they were censored here in the West, that would be one thing. But we are being censored in our own countries. We are not allowed to defend our right to exist in our own countries, which is just absolutely absurd.
Mm. And defend our right to exist, absolutely, or defend our or oppose this program, that is white genocide. We aren't allowed to oppose it. And we're going to lead in here into your conversation, the call in that you had with John on Sirius Radio. Fugelsang, is that how you pronounce his surname?
I guess Fugelsang. I have no idea what a Fugelsang is, but that's his name. And I guess maybe that's Norwegian or something. I have no idea. Scandinavian. But yeah, me and John have been in a spat. I've been kind of trolling the guy for the last year. And finally, he kind of got fed up with me a few weeks ago. He's like, well, come on my show. I'm like, okay, I'll call him. And so that's
just a little bit of background what that show was about that you called in on.
Well, John Fugelsang, he's a comedian, and he's kind of like a political pundit. He has a show on Sirius Radio on Sirius XM Insight. I think it's 121 on Sirius Radio. And if you go through his Twitter or listen to his show, the guy is extremely anti-white. He blames almost everything on white people. I think I gave you guys some of his tweets that he's put out there. And if you just go through a search term of white or Nazi or racist or anything like that, it's hundreds and hundreds of posts from this guy blaming white kids for everything under the sun and always pushing it for an agenda that leads to less white people. That's basically his whole show. That's his thing. That's his genre. That's what he does on Sirius XM. If you listen to the show before I called in, the whole show is extremely anti-white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from what I can gather, he seems like it's a constant justification. A lot of those tweets you showed me from his claiming, if we didn't have immigration, we'd be paying $40 for a salad.
And he posted that same one about that same tweet. If we stop illegal immigration, you'll have to pay $40 for a salad. Sometimes the salad is $40, sometimes it's $50. I don't know why, but I guess it all depends on how much he hates white kids that day. But
It's not like he has any economic training, right?
I have no idea.
Does he have a PhD in economics
probably
or something?
Not. No, I'm guessing.
Does he have any basis for saying that?
Other than
before, you know,
his desire to continue illegal immigration, I don't think he does have a basis for that.
What we do know, though, is that people in white countries can afford a lot more salad than people in brown countries.
So. That's true.
Regardless of what the price is,
right?
But white people
create wealthy countries, and brown people create poor countries.
That's just the reality. But I knew before I called in that I was being put into an ambush because he told me to call on a day when he has like about four or five other people in on the conversation. So he told me to call at that time. So I knew when I called into the show, I had to be on the offense from the very beginning. Because I was going to be under attack, and I just basically had to try to make points as quick as possible. And I didn't do as well as I had hoped, and I'm my own worst critic. So whatever people say about what I should have said, I'm probably going to agree with you that there's a lot of things in that call that I should have said differently, or you know, directions that I should have taken. It's easy to say that after the fact, but when you're in the middle of it and you're being attacked and on the contrary,
I think there, Ken, you did a fantastic job in getting out the talking points and I was super proud of you and what you achieved on that phone call, and it was really great to listen to. So, but we are going to go through that phone call now and have a chat about it step by step and break down what John brings up and your responses and see how we go.
And remember the importance of being on the offense here. We're asking them the questions.
Right.
They're the ones that are committing genocide. We're not guilty of anything. They're the ones committing the crime here.
That's right.
Exactly.
So,
and we're not trying to convince them of anything. We're not trying to get them, the host of these programs, the Anti-Whites, to admit anything.
Right.
We're talking to the audience. We're trying to discredit them in the eyes of the audience watching it, or the ears of the audience watching it, listening to it.
That's it. And we, as you started there, you know, we have the moral high ground. We are the ones that we're in the right. You know, we have the right to a homeland. We have the right to exist. And we are charging them. As Bob always said, you know, we are the interrogators. And we need to be the ones asking the questions, not answering anything that they're saying or trying to constantly provide proof, which is what John kept angling at, you know, prove it, show me.
Right.
Yeah.
And as Bob always said, you know, every convicted felon is still waiting to see convincing evidence of their own guilt. These people know they're guilty. They know that, you know, what I'm saying is true. But they want to try to convince people that they are jurors on their own trial when they're not.
Yeah. No matter how much evidence you give them, they'll just keep asking for more evidence, and they'll say that the people you got it from aren't credible.
Right.
Exactly.
They don't care about evidence. You know.
Exactly.
They're religious zealots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Pushing their religion of political correctness, whose main plank is hatred of white people.
That's it.
Right.
This is how power is exercised. This is not. Getting people elected. People in office is not in power. Nobody is more circumscribed in what they can do and say and how they can vote than a politician. I mean, by the time somebody gets elected, you know, everything's already been decided. Power comes from controlling public opinion, and that's what we're doing here. We're changing the way the audience thinks. To take power, you have to change the way people think, not appease them, not get on their good side, you know, not even make them like you, even. When an anti-white is screaming Nazi racist supremacist in your face, are they trying to make you like them? You know, they're imposing terminology on you. They're demanding that you think a certain way. They're demanding that you follow their religion of political correctness like they do.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. They're trying to divide the social space between everybody who's, you know, follows political correctness and heretics. You know, we're heretics. We want to divide the social space between pro-whites and anti-whites. We're forcing everyone to say which side of that line they're on. are you pro-white or are you anti-white? We're always making it, are you pro-white, are you anti-white? We're always making it about race. Now, you'll notice in this conversation that Fugelsang wants to make it about Reagan, about Trump, about Republican, about Democrat,
yeah,
about any, about economics, about anything but race. We're always bringing it back to race.
Well, Trump's, that's the number one, Trump, you know, that nothing trumps genocide. No claim of economic or, you know, any claim of, you know, cultural or whatever the anti-whites try to claim, nothing trumps genocide. Genocide is the ultimate crime, and that is what is being committed against our race. So that's why it always has to come back to genocide.
And this white genocide gives you the moral high ground every time, immediately.
They have to go on the off or on the defense. They have to go on the defense when you're accusing them of genocide. That's all they can do. You give them no choice.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's bring it in. Let's listen to it and see how good you did there, Ken.
All right, here we go.
And this is SiriusXM Insight. I'm Fugelsang. Thanks for joining us. We are joined by Michelle, Wally Collins, Remy Casimiris here, and Ali Levin. And before I check in with Melania, Ken in Ohio, you have been so patient. I thank you for your patience. Welcome. You're on Insight.
Yeah, you told me to call in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I tell a lot of people to call in. How are you? What's up?
Okay. Well, you wanted to dispute that you are a traitor.
Oh, yes. I am actually not a traitor to America. Why would I be a traitor? I have not colluded with any Russian authorities to enrich myself at the expense of democracy. What's your issue with me?
Okay. You openly argue in favor of policies which turn white kids into hated minorities in all of their countries.
Please specify the policies I have argued for that turn white kids into minorities, because I actually am raising a white child right now.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You're one of the white people that has a white kid.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Ken.
All right. So that's the very beginning of it. And if you guys want to comment.
Yeah, isn't that brilliant? You know, that very first off the bat, that female there makes the claim that you're and laughing about it, that you're one of the very few white people who has a white kid. I mean, she's already made the statement that most white or that whites are being assimilated out.
Right. And that's something you'll see them refer to in this call. Is they keep saying, well, John is white. I'm a white guy. Well, yeah, that's why I'm calling you a traitor. They don't seem to want to acknowledge that. Yes, I started off this call accusing him of being a traitor. Him being white, that is correct. That's why I called him a traitor. All right, I'll continue.
Yeah, they laugh about low white birth rates and whites becoming minorities. And then they say, oh, but we're not any white and there's no white genocide.
Right, oh, yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's continue with the call.
And also, right off the bat, he comes out with a variation on the I'm white, how can I be anti-white gambit.
Exactly.
You know, I have a white kid. You know, how can I be anti-white? Well, you can be anti-white by being a traitor. And yes, it is crazy.
Yeah.
So why are you so crazy?
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. It is crazy. So why are you crazy?
Protecting the borders.
And millions and millions of people are white like that. You know, there aren't millions and millions of anti-black people. There aren't millions and millions of anti-Japanese people. There aren't millions and millions of anti-Arab people. There aren't millions and millions of anti-mestizo people. But there's millions and millions of anti-white whites. And yes, that is crazy, and that's what we're trying to change.
That's it.
Right. All right, I'll continue with the call now.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, so now suddenly you're for protecting the borders and building the wall.
Excuse me, Ken. What policies have I fought for that enslave white children? It's a simple question. Back up your accusation, please.
Or make them a minority.
Go ahead, Ken.
Okay.
Well, I kind of like that, enslaving white people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a straw man because Ken never said that.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean,
turning them into minorities.
That make them a minority. So, well, excuse me, Ken. You know the demographics are changing. White people will be a minority by 2042. I'm not advocating for anything. What policy have I advocated for that you find objectionable specifically?
Mass immigration and forced assimilation.
When did I argue for mass immigration and forced assimilation, Ken? When have I ever argued for that?
Oh, geez, you argue in favor of illegal immigration.
No, I have not, Ken. In fact, there is not a single – name one Democrat who's advocating open borders on a policy level. That's a lie by the right wing.
John Fugelsang has repeatedly tweeted that he does $40 for a salad, so he's in favor of illegal immigration.
No, that's not the case. The Kate, what I said.
Yeah, well, I have about 12 different tweets from him where he's saying that, you know, if you stop illegal immigration, it'll be $40, $50 for a salad. And I think only in one of those tweets did he ever mention anything about labor exploitation. So he wants to pivot that into a conversation about labor exploitation or something like that. But yeah, he's repeatedly, in fact, every time the topic of immigration comes up, he's always in favor of it. Whatever leads to less white kids or white kids being drowned out, he always supports that policy. So, but in this call, he's deciding to try to flip flop here.
But what I mean, more than anything, right there, he admitted again. He admitted that America is becoming a non-white majority country. He's saying, oh, you know, demographics, they're changing, Ken. You know, demographics are changing. You know, you just got to accept the fact of the browning of America.
Like it's just a force of nature and not the result of deliberate government policy.
Exactly. Like this is deliberate.
So are you for or against the deliberate government policies that are turning America non-white?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
If you're for them, you're anti-white. If you're against them, then you're pro-white.
But he does. And I mean, Ken does push it further here, and he does force him to say that America was never a white country. But I mean, again, these anti-whites are opening themselves up and showing their true colors when they make these statements for us. And it is without a doubt, you know, that it is happening, and whites are becoming a minority in every white country. And when you force immigrate and assimilate, that is the program of white genocide. So when they don't let them off the hook, when they admit that, you know, you make them say, yeah, it is, demographics are changing, it is happening by a plan, you know, it is being forced.
He just inserted facts there that I didn't need to insert myself, so I'll thank him for that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll continue the
keep
call
going.
That is, if you got rid of all undocumented immigrants, you'd pay $40 for a salad, because our economy in this country has always been propped up by the exploited labor of marginalized peoples, whether it's slaves, Chinese people working the railroad, Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, girls in sweatshops overseas making our iPhones. Our economy has always been propped up by exploiting the labor of marginalized peoples. If you want undocumented immigration to end, Ken, you don't need to build a wall. You start arresting and incarcerating the white people who hire undocumented immigration,
right?
Because we don't have a wall at our border, and we never will. Trump's lying to you about that, but we do have a giant help wanted sign. And if any of these politicians of any party were serious about ending it, they would start making it not worth your time to hire undocumented people. They don't, Ken.
Yeah. I'm not even against arresting people for hiring illegals, or arresting the people that are in favor of sanctuary cities. And the officials that are breaking U.S. criminal code by allowing sanctuary cities. So,
yeah, and all the rich elites who hire nannies and groundskeepers.
Yeah, but that's fine with me.
It's not just businessmen. You know,
again,
like that guy in Tyson Foods in Iowa who Trump pardoned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's he's just making the call or the statement of justifying it, you know, justifying that we need, or that these non-white immigrants, they fill all the positions that, you know, white people don't want to do. And it's the same talking point that we hear over and over. It is no justification. There is no justification for flooding every white country and only white countries with millions of non-white immigrants and claiming that it's for economic reasons, or because we get it cheaper, or cheap labor, or because we want tacos or chili bowls or whatever. You know, that there is no justification. You know, do white people have the right to a homeland? Do we have the right to self-determination and you know, a right to exist without being blended out of existence? So
exactly, yeah. You can have a problem with what some corporations or government officials are doing, with foreign wars, and if he wants to call it labor exploitation, and I could understand that, but that does not justify singling out white kids across the globe and turning them into hated minorities in all of their countries. I'm sorry, it doesn't.
Exactly.
And notice he said, he didn't say the people who hire illegals, he said the white people who hire illegals. Like, as if it's only white people who hire illegals.
Okay,
that sounds pretty anti-white to me, singling out white people for demonization like that. And he's trying to make it about politics, about Republican Democrat too.
He thinks I worship Trump or something.
Or that we worship conservatives, or that we worship big business or something.
Exactly.
Well, no, I'm all for putting CEOs in jail too if they hire illegals. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'll continue.
They want us to try to defend. He's expecting us to try to defend big business. Well, we're pro-white. We're not pro-business.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Both parties raise votes and money off of this divisive conflict. And Ronald Reagan did call for open borders because he said if there's an open border, when they're done working, they can leave. I've never called for open borders. I've called for treating people the way Jesus calls on us to treat people.
So, you're just calling out his hypocrisy.
Yeah, tell me, again, I'm not a traitor at all by that. And by the way, me wanting to treat migrants who are fleeing our drug war violence in Central America doesn't mean I hate white people. I'm probably whiter than you.
Yeah, and once again, it's I'm white.
I'm white.
How can I be anti-white? Yeah,
exactly. And
there's again.
So he brings up what Reagan? Well, yeah, Reagan was anti-white too.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You can have a controlled border and let people out.
Yeah,
does he think they can't let people out just because you have a wall?
His whole point is, well, they're doing it too.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's the thing. Mexico is Mexico because it's full of Mexicans. You know, once you bring in millions of Mexicans into the USA, it turns into Mexico. Like. It's they seem to think that this is some sort of magic dirt that we live on here, that everyone is just going to come and be happy and live as white people.
Exactly. That.
Yeah, it's the dirt that makes America wealthy, not the people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, it's just a small little division of dirt there. And once you cross into that other dirt, then all of a sudden you're just like Thomas Jefferson.
Mm.
Yeah, there's something magic in the dirt, and it only exists north of the Rio Grande. It's completely devoid south of the Rio Grande.
That's it, yeah. And
he's talking about divisiveness. Well, when you take a 90% white country and you flood it with tens of millions of non-whites, you're going to get division. Yeah, they're the people pushing mass non-white immigration are the ones responsible for division, not those of us who are opposed to it.
Yep,
I don't want racial division.
Yep, I don't
want multiracialism. The more multiracialism you have, the more racial division you're going to have. That is correct.
I don't want fundamental Islamic terrorism, and I don't want white people to respond to it. I don't want any of this violence. The people that are demanding forced assimilation are the people that are creating this kind of environment. And it's something they don't want to recognize. They are responsible for creating the whole mess. Anyway, I'll continue with the...
And then he mentioned Jesus, too. Well,
yeah.
Jesus said there's two rules. There's love God and the golden rule. So how is turning the whole world brown, poor, and tyrannical consistent with the golden rule?
And the other thing, he's worshiping two masters here. He worships the religion of political correctness, and he's trying to worship Jesus at the same time. He's going to have to pick his master. Which one is...
Yeah, once again, he's trying to play to Christians out there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about Christianity, obviously, but he wants to make it about something other than race. Now, in this case, another form of wordism, Christianity.
Yep.
So, but you know, once again, I'm not pro-Christian. I'm not against Christians.
Right.
But I'm pro-white. So that's a gambit he can't use on you if you're pro-white. Now, this is a matter of loyalties. Now, you can be pro-white and pro-Christian, but one of them does have to come first. You can be pro-Constitution and pro-white, but one of them has to come first. Mm. Which is it?
Well, and exactly. And your point there as well, you know, it's such a card that he tossed in there when he says, you know, about Christianity. And I like it, you know, that you wrote about saying treating people well, putting other people's well-being that of your own kind, that's treason right there. Every traitor claims objectivity. I just want to treat people fairly. You know, again, it's also with Bob's, you know, as you said, the golden rule there. How is this following the golden rule that supposedly you are meant to follow?
So how is that treating the future the way that you wanted the past to treat you? If you're gonna, would you want the them 200 years ago to have flooded America with all these non-whites, and we already be brown, poor, and tyrannical? Is that what you want?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
If you, because you're doing that to the future.
Well, that's what,
so how are you treating? Are you treating the future as the past, as you would have the past treat you?
That's it. And doing, you know, these people are leaving brown countries because they don't want to live in a brown third world. But yet, once you bring millions of them into this country and assimilate it, it turns into a brown third world. So how is that? How is that? You know, the golden rule, doing unto others. You know, we need to if. Yeah, I mean, it's, at the moment, it's not our focus.
So he obviously doesn't put white people above non-whites. Yeah. So that's treason right there.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
Irish, Danish, German, Ken.
All you do on your Twitter and on this show is demonize white people.
No, I do not.
Everything under the sun. That's all you.
My
do
parents are white people. No,
John's
I
white.
Ken, I'm really white. Okay.
Yeah, you're really a traitor. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Sick self-hating traitor.
Mm. I demonize hypocrisy and cruelty. Yeah. I attack hypocrisy and cruelty. I've never, ever, ever gone after one race because there's good people and bad people in every race. Would you agree?
I would agree. But you never seem – in fact, you talk about non-whites as if they are just like blameless animals.
Oh, my God.
You do not talk to
Ken, you're putting a lot of words in my mouth and you –
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just said, you know, it's our fault because our drug war makes brown countries poor, you know, not the brown people there. And so we have some of this incredible magic ability to we send a few DEA agents down there to bring really nasty bad people to justice, and somehow that creates all the poverty down there. You'd have to be some a wild white supremacist to believe that.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
And of course the labor exploitation. I mean, he's done it in this call where he's just blamed white people and basically tried to justify why the whole world needs to pour into white countries. If you go through his Twitter and listen to his show, it's what he does. That's what he does. And he specifically names white people almost every show, every day, and several times where he's white men, old white men are ruining everything for the whole world. That's his shtick.
At least he doesn't try to say, you know, ask what, you know, what's a white person or I don't know what a white person is. Mm-hmm. So,
but
there,
but
you know, there's a group of anti-whites that do that, and then there's another group of anti-whites out there that'll they'll say, okay, what's a white person? You know, they'll deny that race exists.
I was waiting for that one, like, oh, what's a white person? This guy drones on and on and on about white privilege. I was going to say, you know, a white person is any person that John Fugelsang would say has racial privilege, has white privilege.
And he said, I'm not anti-white. I demonize hypocrisy and cruelty. Well, yeah, every traitor claims objectivity. There you go.
Yeah.
And
he just said, "Oh, I'm above it all." You know?
Yeah, I mean,
but only that.
No, certainly, we don't want to be cruel to other people because that's bad for us. Yeah. But because it's bad for us, it makes us look bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
but he doesn't care about white people, obviously.
Exactly. So what about the hypocrisy and cruelty towards white people? You know, where is our rights to? You know, we have no rights. We are forced to become minorities in any area that is too white. So, you know, he is outlining everything that that we, you know, we have at our responses, our talking points to. And he does. I mean, he doesn't say what's a white person, but he does say about white country. It's coming up. Let's keep going.
You haven't told me the specific policy that I've advocated for that has earned all these insults from you.
You just admitted that you argued in favor of illegal immigration.
No, I did not. I did not say that. I just said it's a racket. You've been lied to.
And I actually want to respond to this because, you know, when I brought up the John justifying illegal immigration with the salad, he immediately tried to justify why he said it. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he did admit that he's justified and argued in favor of illegal immigration because again he wants to pretend that his statements about the salad was some kind of philosophical thing, but in reality, no, it wasn't. You were just tweeting trying to justify illegal immigration, buddy.
That's it.
And yep.
Well, why would you say that unless that was your purpose?
Exactly. If he wants to, if he wants to talk about labor exploitation, talk about that, but don't justify illegal immigration.
You know? It's fear-mongering tactic.
Okay, I'll continue now.
There's never going to be a wall built, Ken. Do you know if you built a wall, you'd have to confiscate so much money, I mean so much land using eminent domain from American taxpaying landowners? Do you want big government stealing and seizing land from American taxpayers? Is that what you're fighting for?
I know you wanted to bring up a point on that one, Jeff.
Well, yeah, well, I guess a couple things. Well, that's the first and most important reason for government to exist is to protect the borders. So, yeah, I do want them. I don't want them to steal land, but pay for it, yeah.
Yeah, and his views on
that. But also, you know, the way they're attacking this wall, you know, I wasn't really for the wall until these people started attacking it in this insane way. It's the most ridiculous things. Like, they have a ladder. Well, you know, not everybody has a ladder in their back pocket. You know, you can see them with a drone or something, or from an airplane, or from a security camera, if they're trying to scale the wall with a ladder. But they're going after this wall exactly like they went after Reagan's military buildup that helped bring down the Soviet Union. They're just bringing all, you know, it won't work. Mm-hmm. You're being fooled. Mm-hmm. It's really expensive. Do you want to spend all that money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the government's going to steal land from the paying taxpayers, and you know, again, justification. He's justifying using any means to justify the continued mass immigration into the country.
Yeah, and Jeff, you pointed out before that it was his turnaround on private property here.
Oh yeah, he's kind of hysterical. Why should a leftist defend private property? And he might want to cool it on that or lose credibility with all his Marxist friends.
I mean, the other thing is that he's doing in this call is he's basically trying to convince me that Trump is not really for a wall. He's actually for open borders and mass immigration. Essentially, he sounds like somebody that John Fugelsang would vote for.
Mm-hmm.
He's a liberal.
Cryptic. They always pick and choose.
Exactly. That's the problem here, is that they will always change their views on the fly. Yeah. They always do that. It's so annoying. Mm-hmm. That's why, Laura, you suggested that it's always best to like lay down a foundation by asking them questions, mm-hmm. rather than accusing them, but you know, making them state their position so there's no going back on it later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what they do here. He just wants to flip flop and go back on things. And you know, today he's refuting this phone call today, I'm sure, on a show. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but again,
and the way they're attacking the wall makes me think that they must know it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, just like they knew that the Reagan's military buildup could bring down the Soviet Union. Yeah. That's why they were so against it.
One of the things that we do, and Bob used to bring up with regards to that. I mean, he always said that the military was the sole purpose of the American military was to protect American soil, to protect our borders. And so Bob always said, you know, bring the military back and put them on the border. And I mean, we have technology now that doesn't need walls. I mean, they use sonar things that keep, you know, I saw some military video the other day that showed these devices on the borders, and they don't need walls to keep people out. But I think, you know, one of the things that I have been going around about with this wall is that it's always, regardless if we have a wall, white genocide is still going to take place with the amount of non-whites that are already in this country. And unless we have some sort of racial policy or some sort of racial awareness, which is what we are working towards with our white self-hatred is sick and it's not okay to be anti-white, is we need to keep pushing that. And as Jeff has pointed out today, that we categorize in two ways: there's pro-white and anti-white. And so regardless of a wall, we need to keep in mind that it is always the focus on being pro-white and putting our race first, because as Bob said, we can have if we are a racially aware, you know, race based on a race-based nation, you can have a multitude of diversity in, you know, social and living or whatever thought and ideas of people want. I mean, you can follow unicorns or whatever if you, as long as you put your race first. And I think that's, you know, we need to always keep that focus and reminding pro whites that that is our goal. It's never going to end, even if we get a wall.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to the propositional state thing, where in a multiracial country, you can't unite people under an identity, so you have to unite them under words or a proposition, and everybody has to unite under one single proposition. Therefore, you can't have freedom of speech because the proposition is set and everybody has to agree upon it. Mm-hmm. In a multiracial state, you can have different peoples, you know, different white people all battling for a different proposition. And that way you can see what proposition is best. But under the current situation, under multiracialism, proposition is set. There is no changing it. Everybody has to agree upon it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't agree upon the proposition, then you are a traitor. Therefore, there can be no free speech. It's something brilliant that Bob brought to my attention that I had never considered. And it's, you know, it's so spot on. But yeah, I'll go ahead.
They can't allow any serious questioning of the proposition your country is based on. So you have to the minute your country is starts to be based on words, you are living in an inquisition.
Yeah.
All heresy has to be silenced.
Exactly, and that's why we are being censored massively. Mm-hmm. Because we are questioning the proposition that is supposedly unites this country, which it doesn't, obviously, because there's so much problems that are created through forced diversity. I mean, that's kind of what SPLC does, is they highlight all the problems that forced diversity has created, and then their conclusion is that we need more forced diversity.
Mm. Right.
It's insane. Anyway, I'll go ahead and continue.
This wall's a racket. It's never going to be built, Ken. They're manipulating you.
I'll tell you what, I don't even care about the wall. I prefer to handle immigration the same way brown people do in their countries, which is, hey, you look different.
What do you mean their countries, Ken? This isn't a white person's country. This country doesn't belong to white people. No, it doesn't.
Ken, why don't you
finish what you were trying to say there about brown countries? You're cut off.
I was basically trying to make the point that you know, in brown countries, they have their immigration is essentially that they can tell if people belong just by looking at them. And you can do that in Asia. They do that. And in brown countries, they do that. And that's their immigration. They don't even need a wall because they do that. And that was basically my point. I prefer that the way that brown countries do it. And then all of a sudden it turns into, wait a minute. You think white countries aren't for everybody?
This isn't a white country. And
right.
This is a good, yeah, they go into this. And this is another point, you know, that the true colors of these people, and you see the anti-whites making these same points. So, yeah, keep going on that one.
We understand that this is not the melting pot nor patchwork quilt we were taught it was.
So
this
Ken,
is a white country.
Ken, this is a white person's country, you're saying? Who built the Capitol? Who built the White House, Ken?
The slaves.
Country is told that they are a nation of immigrants in a melting pot.
No, they're not. That's not how they're told in Europe, and that's why they're having trouble with migrants. Yes. America has always been a country of immigrants, and that's why we do assimilate Muslims better than our European counterparts.
On the BBC, they say England is a nation of immigrants and always has been. It's always been a multi.
It hasn't always been a nation of immigrants, not compared to America.
Yeah, they're following suit. They're trying.
The same.
Yeah. basically, they kind of flip-flopped there.
They did, by
saying, nobody says Europe is a melting pot. Then all of a sudden, at the end, the girl's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, they're just trying to follow what America's doing. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, they just flip-flop from one second to the next. I mean,
whatever fits their narrative. Yep.
Yeah.
White people conquered and built America. It was set up for ourselves and our posterity. The first Immigration Act of 1790 was whites only. Yes, it is a white country. It was founded as a white country. It was created by white people. Everything about it reflects white consciousness, white culture, white civilization. So yeah, it's a white country, and it's our birthright.
Yeah, and I know
even if a child is born here, even if he didn't contribute it, it's his birthright. It's his inheritance. It's his gene pool created it. So if a Japanese kid is born, he gets to inherit what the Japanese gene pool created. It doesn't belong to Nigerians or mestizos. So how come white kids don't get to inherit what white people create?
Yeah, and that if you would have said to these people, America was created and founded upon white supremacy, they all would agree.
Yeah.
They all would, oh, yes, it was. That's damn right. And then all of a sudden, they just changed their views.
Or if you asked them, do you think white stole America?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Or would you blame... that black person that hauled some rocks around for the White House. Do you blame that black person for stealing America?
Exactly.
If not,
that is
what's a real American? The ones you blame for stealing it from the Siberians.
Mm.
That's another thing you didn't bring up. The Siberians were here first, of course.
Yeah.
They weren't.
Yeah.
White people were here first, by the way.
Yeah.
It is, and that is exactly the point. That admission, we've seen that and been talking about this with regards to Australia Day just passed. Is that they're all claiming, of wanting back Australia, and same as here in the USA, is that they're admitting that it is a white country, exactly how you just explained that. Then they're admitting that it is a white country, and it's a matter of, as you always say, Jeff, discrediting the anti-whites and pointing out these points, and to point out their contradictions. It was the only the point there with regards to him, bringing up all the White House and, who was the White House built by. Well, go back to exactly how Jeff just said then about the preamble, the Constitution. It was written by white men and for ourselves and our posterity, and initially was, a white, whites only immigrants that was to be immigrated here. So,
we used picks, we used shovels, we used carts, we used oxen, horses, and slaves to build a lot of things. But I would think you would have to admit that a slave, doesn't have a whole lot of say in how the country is run, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Saying that slaves built America is like saying cows built McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's the exact same. I mean, if you're going to agree with one, you have to agree with the other. But yeah, I mean,
a white country built the White House and everything in here.
Yeah, essentially what they're saying. Oh no, brown people were just as much of a part of it. Oh, okay, so brown people created this country full of systemic racism and white supremacy. Mm. That's what they did.
It happens to be a majority, a vast, 80-90% white country. The one first world country black people built just happened to be 80-90% white. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. They decided, this is a good place to build our first civilization. We'll do it here.
Yeah.
Right.
There was some point that Bob pointed out in an article about, that the blacks living amongst whites, I believe it was in South Africa, but, those blacks that lived amongst whites, even if they had few rights amongst those white South Africans compared to black standards, they were far, far in advance compared to the rights that they would have within black countries amongst blacks. So it's not a new point really, because it doesn't work for us. But in the way that Bob was angling that is that, they always had it so much better. The life that they had was so much better. But it's a moot point. Scrap that one. Fuck that. So that's no good.
Well, I guess if If it was so horrible for blacks in South Africa, why were they flooding into South Africa?
Yeah, right. Because they had better rights, better living conditions. Even if they, you know, segregation and all such, they had a better life there than they had amongst in black African ruled countries.
Yeah, and that's a point you will never hear on mainstream ever. Apartheid was the worst thing ever. Okay, sure. Then why were they flooding there?
Exactly. I like that one. I think they did. Let's go be oppressed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do that meme. Somebody else did it, but I love that meme and I share it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
We came here to be oppressed by evil white people.
Evil white people. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll keep going on the phone call.
The same justifications that you used to turn America non-white, they are using in...
No, wait a second. Whoa. You haven't named a single policy I fought for, Ken. I don't support turning America non-white or anything. I support people being decent and loving to each other.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes.
Really? Then why is it if white people...
I believe that Jesus shit, Ken.
If white people object to it, you demonize them.
Like what? You haven't been specific once. You haven't named one thing I've specifically said.
You slander, you libel.
Tell me one thing, Ken. Get specific. Ken, get specific. You're not having credibility here.
And you call it racist and white supremacist and Nazi.
Ken, the majority, I didn't call it, I've never called the wall Nazi, Ken. Now you're lying.
You call people that support it racist and white supremacist all day long.
Well, I do think the wall is racist because the majority of undocumented immigrants come from people who overstay their visas.
Yeah. At first he said he's not calling the wall racist and that I'm lying about that. Then he says, okay, well, I do call the wall racist and here's the lie.
Yeah.
it's just more of the it's gaslighting. Yeah. He's doing it like within 30 seconds of in the conversation. He'll deny something, then admit it. And he's done it several times in this phone call. Mm-hmm.
But, and they're quite rude, by the way. Oh, yeah. They don't really... They always trying to talk over, Ken. And
yeah, at one point, you'll hear it. They're just screaming to try to get me to try to drown me out because I'm making a point about forced assimilation. But yeah, they towards the end.
And you got what? When you're in an adversarial, you know, discussion like this, a fight. It's not a debate. It's a discussion. It's a fight. You know, your best bet is to just go to talking points because that's all you're going to get out.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it is so hard.
Luckily, I was able to get some.
Oh, absolutely! You did, brilliant. And but it is, you know, when you're in it, it is takes so much training and restraint to not answer them. You know, keep making your point and repeat it and don't answer them. We're not here to answer their questions. But as you can see, all he does is keep saying, "Where's the proof? Show me the proof. Show me the exact policy." You know what? What did I say? Quote it, you know, and that's what they will constantly do. So by the way to get around that is to ask the questions, make them answer us.
Yeah.
We're in an environment where we're not allowed to speak. So if you say the wrong thing, you can get fired. You can get deplatformed. I mean, if you know, so we're not obliged to answer any of their specific questions, but it's an option. Mm.
Yeah,
if we can answer them and discredit them and push out our talking points, then we can. But we're not obliged to.
No. But also, again, at the start, you said, you know, we're not talking to them. We're talking to the audience. And I think that's another great point to always remember for pro-whites. That's how we can get tailgated so easily if we start trying to answer their questions or proving them wrong or something.
Or accepting their framing of anything.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's basically, he's basically a defendant on trial looking for proof of his own guilt. And magically, he can't find any evidence of his own guilt.
Yeah.
Show me the proof. What's going to prove? I don't care about proving anything to you.
Yeah.
This is about the jury. You aren't the jury, pal.
And remember, everything John says or is going to say, ever going to say, we've all heard 1,000 times at least. Everything we're saying might be new to him. So what we say is going to have a lot more impact.
Yeah. Which is what we've seen. I mean, you're saying it's new. That's exactly what we've seen with regards to this show too. It has gotten the most hits. You know, we've been watching this the clip, and it has been achieving you know, getting so many people. And it was the same with Bob on Political Cesspool. It is, like you're saying, this is new. It is the current. It is very interesting. And because it is so censored and we're not allowed to talk about it, people want to hear about it. It is very interesting. And this confrontation is just brilliant. So
yeah, it's not even close. If you go to the XM Facebook or their Twitter, like as far as the dialogue, conversations, replies, retweets, and likes, this episode or this clip drowns them all out by far. I mean, we're talking probably 10 times the amount of retweets and comments and things like that. Yeah. And so that's probably why he sent me a message the other day telling me to call in again. It's you know, one of the most compelling shows he's probably ever done, because his audience, a good thing about his audience is it's almost exclusively white people. It's like a Dave Matthews concert. There's not many brown people there, at least listening to his show. So this is, and these are people that are sheltered. They've kind of been in a bird box echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And so they're not used to hearing what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that brings up another point, like XM. When they described this clip, they said, "Oh yeah, something like a white supremacist calls and mm-hmm. refers to people of color as animals," mm-hmm. which I mean, it's libel. Yeah, I mean, they're libeling and slandering and defaming and all that. But it actually doesn't bother me, because it sensationalizes the call, mm-hmm. and more people are gonna click on it, thinking
be interested.
Yeah, they're going to be interested and intrigued to click on it, and they're going to hear something that they're not expecting to hear. They're going to expect somebody just to be out there throwing out the N-word and doing saying all kinds of horrible things. They're not going to be expecting what I'm saying, and it's stuff that they haven't heard before.
It's just so brilliant too, because they've actually clipped that phone call, just your phone call. So, and it's short. It's like 9 minutes in total, I think, and it's fantastic. So it for us, it gets the talking points out there, and the best is yet to come. So
yeah,
as we put out our terms and talking points, at some point they have to respond, because they're just not relevant if they don't. So and what, you know, when they do, they're done, you know. Very quickly.
Border crossings illegally are down 75% since the year 2000. Yeah. They're down. Mm-hmm. They've gone down on a 45-year trend of being less and less. During the Obama administration, more Mexicans left America than came here. Census results show net zero increase. And Barack Obama put more National Guard troops on the border than any president in history, and deported more immigrants than any American in history. So I don't understand where you're coming from, Ken. I'm giving you specific facts, and you're making up shit that
and
I didn't
also,
say.
Also, Ken.
Just to point something out, I mean, they've already brought in one third of Mexico here, and they're paying them to outbreed white people. They're, you know, so as far as like immigration being lower or whatever, or illegal immigration, you know, I'm against all immigration right now. I'm against illegal immigration, legal immigration. I want to shut the border off entirely. Building a wall, and again, just
actually, I wouldn't mind white people coming in.
Oh, sure.
You know, when it comes to immigrate, am I for or against immigration? It depends on the immigrant.
Yeah, in fact, one of the girls, I don't know if it's already been played yet, but she's like, would you be against putting a wall up in Canada? And my answer would be no, of course not.
Well, until they become non-white.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're Canada's white, so yeah, sure. We don't need a wall. They're fine. How about that?
Again, he's trying to get away by, you know, claiming all these statistics and trying to throw you off balance by, you know, rambling.
He wants to make it about Democrat versus Republican conventional politics.
Yeah.
And you defend Republicans. I don't care about it. Republicans are more at least as anti-white as Democrats.
Right. He was expecting me to just, you know, worship Reagan and Trump and the GOP. Yeah, I was the wrong guy. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll continue the call now.
You're so concerned, Ken.
You support forced assimilation. You support.
What does that mean? Forced assimilation. What is that, Ken?
Ken, what do you want?
Ken,
do you want a wall at the Canada border too? If you're so nervous about immigration,
Ken, what? But forced assimilation. Do you think America should be English only?
You support.
Do you think America should be English only?
You believe there should be.
All right. What do you guys think? Should I have answered that question? Do I believe America should be English only? I don't really care. I don't care what language white people are speaking.
That's the assimilation line. Yeah. The Republicans say, "Yeah, we want to let all these non-whites in, but we demand that they speak a white language." You know. Yeah.
Basically, what
so happened, I call that white supremacism myself.
What happened there was I had already brought up the immigration and talked about that. I wanted to talk about forced assimilation after that, so I kept on trying to push that conversation. I was trying to direct it in the forced assimilation, which they did not want to talk about. You'll see that they just want to drown me out while I'm trying to talk about forced assimilation. But so I'd already
Forced assimilation started in 1957 when President Eisenhower, Republican, sent the 101st Airborne to Little Rock to force integrate Little Rock High School at Bayonet Point.
Yeah,
that's forced integration. Okay, if you defy integration, you know, they'll send in paratroopers with fixed bayonets.
Exactly.
If that isn't forced, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and they were doing that in the 70s over in Boston when they were forced busing. And the parents and the students said, no, we don't want to do it. They brought in basically military. What they did was they were training the police to act as a military outfit. And they were at gunpoint. They had helicopters and rifles. And they actually had a statute that allowed them to kill people if they objected, if they got out of line. They were documented. I did a short little video about all of this, about the forced busing, and showing the police admitting that they were allowed to kill people if they objected to it.
I think the point there with what John is saying is he's wanting to you to admit, about it again being a white country, but which is what you want. You know, we want to be able to talk about it, the fact that this is white genocide. We want to be able to have a homeland and bring it back again to a question of do you think that white people should have the right to a homeland that is English speaking and for white people and not being forced, mass immigration and forced assimilated? And I think you're right about bringing it back to the assimilation point, because that is the point that is why this is white genocide.
You could end immigration totally right now, and we're still in a genocidal situation because of forced assimilation, mm-hmm. because white people are not allowed to have self-determination in our own territories and continue our existence. We are being forcibly drowned away, mm-hmm. with no option of escape.
Right. So, I know we get into this shortly in your call about the definition of genocide. But, what you guys just brought up then with Little Rock and then Boston, again, that is armed forces that in the beginning that forced assimilation and forced integration. And now, though,
that's not true.
What we're seeing now is that the policies are in place that no area is allowed to remain white. No school, no town, no sports team can be white. It is forced to accept diversity and become, a mixed diversity, exactly. AKA non-white, less white.
Every white gets chased down.
Right.
Diversity means about immigration, chasing down the last white person.
Mm. And about immigration, well, every country is created by people who came from somewhere else.
Mm. Yeah.
So America is no more a nation of immigrants than any other nation. People don't spring from the ground.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. America was conquered by white people. Mm-hmm. And then they're not obligated to let anybody in they don't want to.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. All right, I'll continue to call now.
You're making things up.
Hold on. Ken. My man, Ken. Ken, another key.
Ken, you can't have all white neighborhoods.
You can't have it. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. You can't. In fact,
that's forced integration. So,
yeah,
what
exactly.
is what was if that isn't forced integration? What is?
I think in the phone call that XM Insight released, they took that out. They clipped that out. I think.
Really?
I think so. Okay. I know that they didn't do the whole phone call. They They were, I know they were piecing part of it together, but I think they left out that part where they were just yelling at me and not wanting me to talk about forced assimilation. And then John says, you can't have white neighborhoods, Ken. So there you go.
There it is. You just admitted it.
It's great. It's great when they you know, when they do our job.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So
they just prove our talking points. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's basically all they can do. All they can do is either prove us right or just temporarily change their position, which is kind of John was doing both here. He wanted to pretend that he was like pro-white. And, oh, yeah, I don't want to turn America non-white. I'm against all of that. Total BS. And anybody that listens to his show, all of his followers even know that the guy was being deceptive and trying to change his position temporarily. Mm-hmm. Anytime right. immigration is brought up, he's always arguing in favor of it. Whatever leads to less white people, he's always arguing in favor of it. But in this phone call, all of a sudden, he just wants to backtrack, and his worldview gets flipped upside down for 10 minutes. It's basically what happened.
All right, keep going.
And Ken, let me ask you a question. Okay, so you're basically going after John here. What do you want?
Yeah. Yes. Ken, we want to know.
What I would like is for white people to have the ability to openly, freely, and honestly discuss white genocide.
What wait, is stop. White stop, genocide? Stop.
Because when we go after him, he's going to.
Yeah.
He's going to say that we don't
end
up on him.
I've never heard of white genocide.
Hold on. Let him explain himself. So go ahead.
Please explain white genocide. Yes, the president's tweeted about it. Okay, go ahead.
Massive third world immigration and forced assimilation onto every and only white country. Asia is allowed to remain Asian. Africa is allowed to remain African. But every white country is told that they must embrace a third world brown future. And if they object, then they're neo-Nazi, white supremacist, racist, and they're everything that's evil with the
Ken,
world.
What Breitbart says isn't what the rest of the world says. I don't think you understand the definition of the word genocide. Do you?
Okay.
best bit ever. That is so awesome, Ken.
Yes.
Yeah. That's basically. I was hoping to get some points in. I noticed that when I did this call after the fact, I noticed that I never used the word anti-white once, which I regret. I should have been calling him an anti-white from the very beginning. But at least I did get the talking point in about what white genocide is.
That's the Trump. I mean, you got the Trump card right there. That's the number one. That is the number one that we want to get across. And the fact that not only did you say the words white genocide, you got the definition in there. You got to read.
Well, that's coming up here in a minute, I think.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Well, right. We'll keep going.
So what Fugelsang is saying is that if we get rid of white people through forced blending, it's not genocide because it doesn't meet this dictionary definition.
Exactly.
Genocide is any attempt to get rid of
in whole or
any
in
group by any means.
Yeah. Well, I haven't even played the part where they pick a certain definition of genocide that they like, and they decide that that's what genocide is. I haven't even played that yet.
On that point just there, though, that you got in Asia for the Asians, Africa for the Africans, white countries for everyone. I mean, that as well is our number one talking point as well in proving that this is white genocide. So, I mean, that regardless of not calling him anti-white, you got the main point, which is white genocide. So, yeah, keep going so we can
I can't believe that they let me say that without trying to interrupt me.
Right. They actually let in saying, let him go, let him
right. Yeah. Everybody they led me in. Everybody was silent. Okay. Now I get to go. There you go. Perfect. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to this bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Know what it means?
Mass killings.
Mass murder. Mass genocide. Murder.
That's
what it means.
No.
Here it is, the deliberate killing of a large group of people, especially those of a particular ethnic group or nation.
It's
genocide
cleansing.
Or
so you
ethnic
believe
cleansing.
That we,
okay, now can I talk about the law on genocide? The law on genocide. Killing is only one method.
Oh,
deliberately inflicting conditions of life calculated to bring about the physical destruction in whole or in part.
So are you saying, Ken, that you believe the immigrants are going to band together, rise up, and kill all the white people? Is that where you're...
Yeah.
Woo! All right, that's the... Yes, that's it.
Yeah, and then he conveniently ignores it.
Right. It
ignores the law on genocide, and they say, oh, so you think all the brown people are going to kill all the white people?
Right. He again brings it back to violence. It is mass killings, as the girl states there. You know, that's genocide is mass killings. And we're faced with that constantly. You know, the same even on our own side. You know, Duke and Jared Taylor and Sunak and all those guys, you know, they can't seem to grasp the fact that genocide does not mean mass killings. You know, is assimilation.
I think they all know it doesn't. But what they are worried about is how hard it's going to be to convince people of what genocide is.
Mm.
And if our only battle is trying to educate people on what genocide is, it's an easy battle.
Yeah.
If we can get them in, if we can get them to do that, all they have to do is just start talking about what genocide is. Mm. But I do think Jared Taylor and Duke and all the they all know that genocide does not require mass murder. They know that.
It is and that's why I'm bringing it back with these guys, you know, that it is assimilation, you know, that is. And that's why he tried to take you straight off, you know. Oh, what are they going to band together? All these non-whites are going to band together and start killing white people, you know.
No, the conditions of interbreeding are forced by forced assimilation, by law.
Right.
So by his definition, by Fugelsang's definition of genocide, if every single black person were to be sterilized, that would not be genocide. Mm-hmm. If every single, you know, male Jew was sent to South America and every single female Jew was sent to Siberia, that would not be genocide either.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, by their definition. And that is another one of those great points to make. And Bob was... you know, that was how he explained it as well, and that's it. You know, genocide doesn't mean mass killing,
right?
Yeah,
attempt to eliminate a group by any means, in whole or in part,
and that's the other point, thing. In whole or in part.
And all they have to do is try. They don't have to succeed.
Exactly.
Just trying is genocide. Attempted genocide is genocide under the law, UN Resolution 260.
Yeah, and we all know that if these mass immigration, forced assimilation, and these censorship, hate speech laws, and all these things were being forced onto every and only black countries, John Fugelsang would have no problem calling it genocide. Mm. No problem. None of those people on that panel would have had any problem with me calling it genocide. But since we're talking about white people, all of a sudden there's this weird double standard where in order for white people to be victims of genocide, they have to be mass murdered.
That's it.
So, yeah, the point about sterilization is spot on as well. If you think, okay, well, if you think it's just mass murder, then you would obviously not have a problem with mass sterilization, which would be genocide, clearly. But according to their definition, it wouldn't be. That's why we know their definition is bunk.
That's
because any policy that leads to the destruction of a group in whole or in part is genocide. It doesn't matter how you get there. It's the destination that matters.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly why it is. As Jeff said, it doesn't matter if they succeed or not. It's attempted. You know, there's still how many millions of Jews are left. You know, that they weren't all genocided, but yet it's the biggest, you know, industry, the Holocaust industry, and you never let it down. So live it down. But it comes back as Jeff always says, it's discrediting them and discrediting and pointing exactly how you said, you know, about the Africans in Africa. If we were to be doing this and in Africa, you know, what sane black man wouldn't notice it and wouldn't object to it. But yet, if we tell the obvious truth about this ongoing program of genocide against our race, the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives agree that we're Nazis who want us to kill 6 million Jews.
Yep.
They say they're anti-racist, but what they are is anti-white. Anti-racist is just a code word for anti-white.
Yes, indeed.
Coming from?
Sorry.
No, I think self-hating traitors like you are going to argue in favor.
You haven't said one specific thing I've done, Ken. I'm not a traitor, and you're propping up a guy who let Russia come in here and turn us all into cocks.
Let's go. Let's try this, Ken. Let's just try this.
Hold on. About this Russian thing.
No, Ken.
Russian intelligence officials are on video saying that they have compromised the Democrat Party.
Oh, I'm sure they are, Ken. I'm sure they're on video saying that.
All right. I tailgated there.
Yeah. That's all right.
Right. Well, but as long as you have to find a balance between, you want to discredit these people any way you can.
Yeah.
But you don't want to tailgate either. So you got to find some balance.
I brought up Yuri. For most of the people that are listening to this podcast would be well aware, likely, of Yuri Bezmenov and that whole segment of videos that he released, who was a former KGB operative, and basically spells out, what's been going on for the last 50 years. And the fact...
Yeah, it's demoralization.
Right.
Which is a process of putting people into a state where they can't defend themselves in their own minds.
Yeah,
which is what has happened to the mass of white people, which is what we're trying to undo.
So I kind of tailgated there, but not really, because what Yuri Bezmenov is describing is all about white genocide. So I didn't mention his name, but the whole Russia thing is just so absurd to me. It got the best of me, and I tailgated. And I shouldn't have.
It's good. It's all practice, and it takes, doing it. And right. There is no way that anybody can tell you when you're in that situation and you are faced with that. It is so hard to, to stay 100% focused and stay 100% on message and to not defend yourself or come up with, it is. So, but you bring it back. I mean, you did 100%.
I will always bring it back. That's one thing about me. I might tailgate for a second, but I'm always going to bring it back. Yeah. It's always coming back to race.
Yeah.
By the way, it's kind of ridiculous to say Russia had more impact on our election than Mexico or Israel.
Exactly. Yeah.
Obama flat out said, if you're illegal, I'll play what he said right here.
Come from my family and deport us?
Not true. Okay. And the reason is, first of all, when you vote, you are a citizen yourself, and there is not a situation where the voting rolls somehow are transferred over and people start investigating, etc. The sanctity of the vote is strictly confidential.
Okay, so did Putin send 30 million Russians here and tell them to vote illegally? Mm.
That's a good question. And to be honest, and not to tailgate even more here, but I'm not sure why we hate Russia. I remember a few years ago, when Russia banned pedophilia propaganda, and we're all supposed to hate them for that. That's the only thing I could think of. I'm not sure why we hate Russia so much.
They're not communist anymore.
Yeah, I think that's basically the left's view on
it. Because if you want to talk about Russian subversion, they had agents in the State Department, hundreds and hundreds of agents in the State Department.
Yeah.
And McCarthy was trying to root them out, or at least expose them, or at least say maybe they shouldn't be working at the highest level of government, if they're Soviet agents. That's all he was saying. And to this day, the same people demonize McCarthy for Russian subversion, for exposing Russian subversion.
All these people that are talking about
Russian subversion. And now they pretend to care about Russian subversion.
All these people that are talking about Russia's subversion today would demonize McCarthyism. Yeah, every single one of them. But here we are.
Yeah.
And it's all nonsense.
And every single person McCarthy accused of being a communist and ended up being in the Soviet archives when they were opened up.
Yep.
Their names were there. And a lot more.
McCarthy was right. He was proven right. Yeah. According to Russia.
They don't care about Russian subversion. They care about their ideology. They care about leftism. They care about putting intellectuals in power, which is what...
And another reason I hate Russia
getting
the
media academia complex in power.
Well,
which is sometimes called leftism or liberalism, but it's a group of people that are good at words. Mm-hmm. That's who's in power. That's who we have to get out of power, and to a certain extent we have to, play it by their game. We have to get better at words than they are.
Mm-hmm.
But our advantage is everything we say is true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. everything they say is deceit and fraud.
Mm-hmm. It's squid ink, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Obfuscation. Code word. That's why we say code words, you know. Yeah. They're pretending to be, you know, anti-racist, but all they are is anti-white. Everything they do is aimed at getting rid of one group of people. White. Mm-hmm. Everything they do is aimed at demoralizing, guilt-tripping one group of people, white people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another reason why they hate, you know, Russia, I guess, is that they, you know, Russia said Russia for the Russians. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they're nationalists. Mm-hmm. You know, more nationalist than they were.
You're right.
Yeah, they've had a lot of things to say about, you know, the topic of white genocide without using the phrase white genocide, but they've had a lot to say, Putin and immigration officials in Russia. So, the liberals are scared. The left are scared that Trump secretly doesn't hate white people. That's basically all it comes down to. Mm. They're paranoid and they're scared that Trump doesn't hate white people as much as they hate white people. Mm-hmm. That's really all it comes down to. And Putin doesn't seem to hate white people from some of the things he says. And a lot of people might disagree with me on that, but at least from what I've heard, he seems to be pretty much pro-white and pro-Russian. And he's going to do what's best for Russia. And sometimes it's not going to be good for the United States. That's just the reality.
Yeah, so I mean, Hungary's doing great too. You know, Hungary's saying Hungary for the Hungarians. So, Viktor Orban seems to be doing some good stuff as well. But boy, are they getting the pressure. You know, they're going to get pressure because it's you cannot go against this program.
Oh yeah, they're being sued, like Poland, Czech Republic, and Hungary. They're all being sued. I'm not sure how that's going along, if it's already transpired, but I know that they were being sued by the EU for refusing to accept white genocide. So,
yeah. And sorry, go ahead.
Any whites have no problem identifying what a white country is
at that point.
It's the ones that they say have to have, you know, as soon as Iron Curtain came down, they started saying, well, are these countries ready for immigration? Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. A white country is anyone that needs mass third world immigration.
Yeah. Yep. And maybe that's a chat for our next podcast is that migrant pact, you know, that they are pushing that this you know, one world open borders policy for all white countries. And you know, it's certainly they're pushing it harder and harder now. So what's
yours is everybody's.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
That's why I kind of don't like the term globalism. I think it's kind of a misnomer, because what they're talking about, globalist policies only seem to apply to white countries.
Yeah.
So I think that the term globalism might be an anti-white terminology injected into our segment, the people that are fighting against globalism. Because, you know, otherwise, either you're for the globe or you're against the globe. That's kind of the way the terminology presents itself, that either you're in favor of helping the world or you're not.
But anti-whiteism is a global phenomenon. That's
true.
And the people that push it don't really care too much about borders.
Mm-hmm.
At least in white countries.
Yeah.
as far as I can tell. It doesn't seem like they have a problem with any other country protecting their people and their borders. It's just seems to be white countries. But there's only, I think, only like 30 seconds left in this call, so I'll go ahead and finish it.
Well, you know what? If you are believing Russian intelligence officials, Ken, you're exactly the kind of guy Donald Trump wants. Now, Ken, Donald Trump hired undocumented immigrants to build his hideous building on Fifth Avenue. Donald Trump hired undocumented immigrants to work in his golf courses. That's right now going on, okay? You're being suckered by guys who profit from undocumented labor and get rich off it and then demonize the undocumented brown people to get folks like yourself to vote for them, Ken. You've been hoodwinked, and I gotta go, but Ken, I appreciate you calling, and you're welcome to call back next week. I will always welcome your calls and let you have your say. I enjoy the debate. I will be respectful to you, and I will even start a GoFundMe to get you laid, but we gotta go.
all right, yeah.
He had nothing else, you know.
He had to run away from after that one.
Yeah, and the fact that you got in the white genocide. So it's It was a brilliant phone call, Ken. It was really, really good. I was so happy to listen to that.
Yeah.
And once again, he's trying to make it about conventional politics, like we're here to defend Trump or something.
I kind of did with the tailgating, though. I was like, oh, well, you know, the Russians were infiltrating the Democrat Party and all that. So I kind of did tailgate into what he was wanting, but I didn't want to stick to that. So
yeah,
but yeah.
It was a good call. And again, at the end there, he was trying to make it economical. You know, again, he's bringing it back. He's trying to break his point again about it being economical. Yeah.
He's saving all the brown people. That's right. That's what it's about.
Yeah. We're not talking about economics. We're talking about genocide.
And in order for him to save all the brown people, we have to bring them all into white countries. John can't move to Honduras or Mozambique. Mm-hmm. We have to bring them all here.
Yeah, again, once you flood in the third world, it becomes a third world.
There's no future for people like John, though, because as they do flood in, they'll say, well, we don't need you anymore, John.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful thing about this phone call, even if I went there and I got pounced and I got tromped or whatever, it's not going to age well. Mm. It's not going to age well for John. That conversation, that little exchange is not going to age well for him. And a lot of people that listen to a show, and again, his audience is almost exclusively white liberals. They have a large percentage of them, I would imagine, have never heard the points that I brought up. This is the first time they've ever heard it, and it was kind of a bit of a mind screw or whatever.
And that's how brilliant our stuff is. You can't unhear it. You know, once you've made those points, and I think that's why it's been so popular as well, is that. You know, this is all new. It's all new to these people, and as you said, it's not going to age well for him. He was contradicting himself so many times in that call. So,
It didn't even take a few days for it to not age well, because two hours after that phone call ended, that's when the coming to Catholic story broke.
Yeah.
2 hours after that phone call, then that whole thing happens.
Yeah,
and essentially almost everything I said in that phone call was instantly vindicated in a matter of 2 days on a national platform.
Exactly. Well, that's brilliant. Well, I think we'll leave it there.
I kind of wanted to play the clip from the cartoon. Did you guys, any of you, click on that video about the British?
Yeah.
Well, I have the whole cartoon in an actual good format here, because I actually kind of wanted to talk about that when he said, oh, no, they're not saying that stuff in Britain.
Yeah, right.
And this cartoon, here, I'll play it right now.
Okay.
I think immigration's a recent thing. Think again. Because you see, you've got the Celts, the Romans, the Anglo-Saxons and the Vikings, the Normans, the Flemish, the Irish, Black Britons and Jewish people. Yep, we were multicultural long before Korean Carnival. It's in our DNA. There's no such thing as a pure Brit. Despite what some flag wavers would have you believe, the average one is just 36% Anglo-Saxon. Migration did step up after the Second World War, when people arrived from all over the colonies, places like India, the Caribbean, Pakistan, Uganda and Kenya. Then we joined the EU, which meant we could easily move to Paris, Rome, Berlin, Barcelona, and that people there could come here. Some people come fleeing war or poverty, others because we have a better music scene. But it's only the past 20 years that have seen more people come than go. Even so, you can't open a paper without hearing someone giving it large about immigration.
Yeah, that cartoon was produced by the BBC. It's a division they call BBC Teach, which is with the public educational system in Britain. And that was being shown to kids all over England.
Yeah, we'll add the link from the Sun article there that you sent through into the description on the YouTube video. But exactly, I mean, that couldn't have been a more perfect example as to what John was saying, that No, they don't say in that in the UK. The UK wasn't multicultural, you're wrong. They
yes.
are.
I mean, everybody that's listening to this podcast, or most people, would know how absurd it is to say that they're not saying that stuff in Europe. But maybe to his audience, they're in an echo chamber and they have no idea.
Right. So, yeah.
But there's only so many things I could talk about. I mean, I could have went into the Immigration Act of 1790, the preamble. I could have started quoting. I have quotes from lords and high officials in the United Kingdom of them saying, quote, "We are a nation of immigrants," over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. I've got tons of quotes. I could have went into all of that stuff on a show. I didn't have all that stuff on hand because it's hard to tell what direction the conversation's going to go.
Yeah.
So I mean, I would need an encyclopedia and a bunch of links to kind of go to be able to get into all the stats and all that kind of stuff. But
No, you did brilliant.
What they're saying is you don't have any birthright. You don't have a right to what your gene pool created. But it's only the white
people. Stolen valor thing. Like, oh, white country. America's not yours. What? Yeah. What? It's not white people? What?
Yeah.
So it's back.
It's created by the white gene pool. It
goes back to the stolen valor where they feel entitled to everything that is white.
Mm. And that's, I mean, also with that, you know, I was surprised that they went along the tact of, well, who built the White House? You know, basically slavery and all that. They didn't actually say we stole it from the Indians. You know, I was surprised at that point that they didn't go down that tact and say.
Yeah, I have a feeling if I call back, there's a lot of things that we've talked about here that we're surprised that they didn't mention. I think if I call back, they're going to try to mention them all, like the Indians and slaves and all kinds of other stuff. I mean, it's hard. Who knows where the next conversation might go to. Yeah. But
That one, we have the best response for that. You know, well, do you believe that America was stolen from the Indians? Well, if that's the case, then what do you do with the, you know, the first thing that you do if you know that you've got something stolen is that you give it back, you know?
I did do a podcast with anti-whites before where I did use that one. Yeah. Like, well, if you believe you stole something, you have a moral obligation to give it back.
Yeah.
So you believe it was stolen. I don't. I think it was conquered. But you believe it was stolen, so you have a moral obligation to
give it back. Yeah.
Yeah. To contact your local native tribe,
hand it over
all your assets, give them your deed to your house, and get the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly. And then instead of just, you know, this flag waving morality that they try to do, well, you know, do something about it. Show it. If you really believe that, then do it. You know, stop claiming that's the case.
Personally, I think it's awesome. If you want to go and help brown people and you want to do something to help them, that's awesome. But if you're just going to virtue signal about it from your white neighborhood, that's lame. It.
Yeah. Stop talking and start doing something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Go to Honduras. Go to Guatemala or Nicaragua, go to Uganda or Mozambique, go and help them. I would applaud you. I think you're a great person. But if you're just going to sit here and talk about it and talk about how amazing you are by pretending you want to help them while doing nothing for them, then, I mean, basically I'm going to point out that you're a fraud.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, that's awesome, guys. Well, we will be back again very soon, hopefully again next week. We'll choose another topic to chat about.
Sure. I mean, there's all kinds of things. We could have discussed the Catholic school thing and all that, but there's all kinds. I showed you that clip or that picture from Perth at the cricket stadium.
Yeah, that was another great. Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised. Actually, you be careful. I wonder what the follow up on that story is. They'll end up in jail in Australia for doing that.
Well, I tweeted about it and I said that, you know, apparently in Australia it's illegal to be white. It's not okay to be white. It's a crime because they got ushered out. Now, if the banner was stop racism or whatever, end white supremacy, no problem.
Yeah.
But it's okay to be white.
And not so, maybe it must have been a year or more ago that they had no more mosques at an event like that. And they also got thrown out and charged, I believe, with with hate crime, you know, or some sort of inciting hatred or something, I believe. I'd have to find that exact story. But, yeah, no, you can't in the UK, in thought-policed countries. You just cannot. You cannot oppose the immigration policies, and they have sedition laws that forbids it. So we are lucky. And as Bob said, you know, here in the USA, we have the freedom, and we need to use it or lose it.
Yeah. We've technically we have the freedom, but not really, because I mean we're being silenced on all the platforms.
Political correctness.
So, I mean, as anti-white and as you know, as much as I dislike John Fugelsang, at least he let me go on there and he let me say some really important shit.
Absolutely.
Uninterrupted. Of course, he did interrupt me on the forced assimilation part, but
because
that's a big one. The forces, the mass immigration, people, okay. But once you get to the forced assimilation, they're like, oh, hold up. MLK is the same and that kind of stuff. So it is the big one. That's the tough one for people to swallow. But
well, it's a great example. I mean, for everyone out there to just, you know, and it can be done anonymously. You can call into stations and have that chat. It certainly takes balls. I know it's a rough to go into a, you know, the enemy's arena and take them on there. So it was brilliant. Kudos to you.
And that's something I actually wanted to add to the podcast to try to encourage people to call in. And again, it doesn't matter. You can get they could absolutely destroy you intellectually or whatever. In a phone call, as long as you're getting out some talking points, you win.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You're winning. You get the word anti-white out there. You get white genocide. If you can describe white genocide, even better.
Yeah.
But anything, getting out there and doing anything like that and going, the important thing is going where you're not wanted rather than preaching to the choir. And sticking around in an echo chamber where everybody agrees with you. Go where you're not wanted, where your views are not going to be heard, and injecting your views in there.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. And that's basically why I was like, okay, I'll do John Fugelsang's show. The day of, I was thinking, do I really want to call? I'm like, oh, I got something I got to do in an hour. Oh, screw it, I'll call anyway. But so I did, and like I said, I knew I was going to get ambushed. I knew that. They were basically going to come at me, but
and there was four against one. I mean, like it's
exactly. I'll tell you what. Most of them were non-white, and they kind of backed away because they knew I was going after John, not them. They kind of knew that. They kind of got the.
Yeah, we don't. The non-whites aren't our enemies. It's the anti-whites, most of whom are white traitors. These are our enemies. The blacks and browns are bioweapons being used by the anti-whites in power to force blend whites out of existence. Blacks and browns don't have any power to speak of.
I mean,
and if you're interested in taking power, you don't go after entities and people that don't have power. Mm-hmm. You go after power, and that's what we're about. We're not about winning elections. We're about changing public opinion. Yeah. That's where power comes from. This is the kind of thing it it may not look like it, but This is how we're going to win, if we are going to win. It's by going on shows like this and putting out our talking points and changing public opinion, getting our terminology into people's heads.
That is exactly it. Changing the mass consensus. Switching from white self-hatred and making people think on the terms of it's not okay to be anti-white.
Yeah, and he knew that from the beginning. That's why he didn't want to be anti-white. All of a sudden, for that show, for that segment, for 10 minutes, he wanted to convey himself as a pro-white.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. It really was.